Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So an assignment from yesterday, when do you feel defensive? Record and listen. And here is our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle.
Oh, goodness, I tell you. of all the times to be unmuted. Oh.
Is this a particularly auspicious time?
It is. It is. Everything happens at the perfect time. I record and listen about a lot of this, and some of these things have brought me to practice years ago. But there's a lot about my profession that gets me defensive.
Uh-huh.
And to some degree, and you know this, some of the training for my profession has been traumatic, to say the least.
Right.
I care very much about what I do, but I have strong criticisms about my profession on one hand, and yet I get very defensive when people outside of the profession are very critical of the profession.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
there are problems at home, but it's,
oh my,
it's
God.
My home.
Exactly. Well, and I really, I mean, I work so hard in the profession to hopefully be part of the solution rather than part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
But it gets really hard.
Uh-huh.
And then I feel beaten up when somebody on the outside criticizes the profession. So, to be honest, I spoke a few months ago to a group of college students interested in this profession, and I could not wholeheartedly endorse going into it the way it is now. So that's a problem, because certainly there are services that are needed out there, type of thing. So that's kind of where I am with that.
So I don't know. This is just what occurs to me. I was watching something last night, and it was an interview of the Iraqi immigrant female pediatrician who uncovered what was happening in Flint, Michigan with the water.
Wow.
And there were several aspects of it. You know, one is she came here as a child with her parents who were escaping horrible circumstances. She's a woman.
Yeah.
So she's a foreign woman. And she, somebody said, well, if your choices hadn't brought you where you are, what would have happened to all those people in Flint? What would have happened to all of those children? Not that their health hasn't been compromised on huge numbers of them, and not that it's not still a disaster. It is. But she was the one who, against the pressure from her colleagues, and the university and that sort of thing, who just kind of wanted to, could you just be quiet? She stepped up and made a huge, huge difference in so many lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and that I know that that's the kind of thing you look at. So if you're going to encourage young people to go into that profession, all we can do is hope that some of them anyway will be those people, the ones who will be inspired to go against, which is what we face everywhere, right? What we see everywhere. We're so conditioned. Just keep your head down. Just keep quiet. Just don't make waves. Just don't be a troublemaker. Don't stand out in the crowd. You know, you stand out in the crowd, people, you become a target. And the courage that it takes to go ahead and live your principles and your ideals in the face of all of that, I hope it gives you comfort.
It gives me comfort. And the other reason why this is so apropos right now is that I'm dealing with a sensitive issue with the large corporation type of thing, and I'm independent and private and something that's going on, and being bullied to not report something. And I'm like, man, why does it always happen to me? Why am I the one standing up and saying, no, this is a problem? And we need to do, I mean, this is the right thing to do. We need to do this.
I know the answer, Rochelle. I know the answer to your question. It's you because you will. That's why.
Yeah. To me, there's no choice. It doesn't win you any awards, and it doesn't feel good.
Oh,
and but, you know, it's just, but this is the right thing to do.
You have to do it.
Well, in the I don't know, but it just is very difficult and it's not difficult. I mean, I know what needs to be done. I guess I don't know. It's a lot that
If I may. You're a Christian.
Yes.
Jesus.
Okay. I follow the teachings of Jesus. Now.
Yeah.
If the end he decides to claim me that I have done his work, then that's wonderful. But I try.
That's exactly right. And if we look, if he wanted an easy time of it, he'd have kept his head down and kept his mouth shut.
Yeah. Exactly.
So. We have so many, I'm going to be talking more about this in days to come. Look in a direction, and we have a catastrophe in our country right now. And I just thank God every day that people are working on Puerto Rico, that people are working on race relations, that people are attempting to do things like the doctor did in Flint, Michigan. You know, that there are people who are attempting to stand up and be counted in all these situations. And right now, of course, on our southern border, we have a true, immediate, right in the moment, no theory about it, catastrophe unfolding.
Yeah.
As conditioned people, there's a lot of just ignore it. Just it'll be fine. Nobody needs your input. Spiritual people, sometimes we can get messages of it's none of your business. Don't Or as sensitive people. It's too painful. It's too hard. I just can't face these things. I just can't look at the fact that people are being shot down on our streets, that kids are being killed in schools, that children are being taken away from their parents. It's just too upsetting. It's just too overwhelming and upsetting. And it is. It really is.
Yeah.
And we need to look to our role models, the people that we admire, because they didn't keep their head down. They didn't just go along with it.
Yeah, well, you know, even with Flint, Michigan and stuff, you know, even when I look at it, I'm like, my gosh, how many professionals had to look the other way?
Oh, exactly.
Not put it together and not, yep. I mean, you had to be blind as a professional not to realize something's going on. And I tell you, I've been in meetings where I said, this is a problem. And they all look at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you know, isn't this
yeah.
obvious type of thing? And I don't have the good
and
sense to be quiet or say what's obvious.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh, my gosh. And so the
yeah.
only way those things succeed is by people, you know, looking the other way, not saying what needs to be said. And there are times, and I know people think I'm scary or here she comes and she's saying something again and stuff, but I'm like, why aren't you saying this too? I don't understand
yeah.
why I'm by myself saying this when it's completely obvious.
Yes, which brings me to what is, again, I think the essential point for all of us is we want to do it with love.
Yeah.
We don't want to do it in a way that, I know we need to move on, but Sunday morning in group at the monastery, we were talking about this thing that occurred to me a while back, and I probably mentioned it on this call, this prayer. May we all feel the love that makes us want to love.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? And without feeling that love, we don't want to love. We don't care about other people. We all we're concerned about is our own survival because we're not in touch with that love that makes us want to love, makes us want to be loving. And to me, that's the bottom line with, again, every hero that I look to. That was the message. Yes, we do need to do everything that we can do. Yes, we need to say the hard thing and make people uncomfortable and offend people and perhaps get called names. And whatever we're doing, we need to remember that the highest, our highest priority is first to come from love and then whatever.
Yeah.
I think the famous expression is first love God. I would just say first love unconditionally and then. Or first love as unconditionally as we can, and then let that move us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You go get them, sister.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Rochelle. There's just not much to say after that conversation, Sherry. You know, that place of several things dropped in that conversation that when we have the courage to at least have the conversation, right? I mean, that place of I am someone who is in this world. I participate in whatever's going on. There's a way in which it's not separate from me. And let's acknowledge that in the conversation.
Yeah.
So it's not a total, it's never a total endorsement of anything, because if it's not perfect, then the only way that it can be perfect in that sense is if we all want that perfection. And that we have to admit when it's not perfect so that we can actually move towards that perfection. But not talking about it just because it's upsetting, as you said, or claiming that it is no changes required is that ego place where nothing changes.
Yeah, yeah. And you remind me of something that many people on this call probably heard, the recording that came out yesterday, the illegal recording, by the way, that came out from one of the places that the children who are taken from their parents are being held. And to listen to those children crying and sobbing and screaming and begging and not to to know that this is our call, right? This is a call that well, I'll just speak for myself, okay? This is a call that I cannot fail to answer. It's just not possible. And so I'm hoping that everyone who hears this, everyone who does awareness practice, everybody who says, yes, I'm a spiritual person, I'm a religious person, I'm a whatever, please do yourself the favor of listening to that recording. I'm sure you can Google it, and it's all over the internet, because there are a lot of people trying to make sure everybody in this country, if not around the world, hears that recording and realizes we have to participate. We cannot maintain an illusion of a separate stance any longer. We just can't.
Mm-hmm. Well, we cannot be defensive, right?
We cannot
because
be defensive.
The defense,
that's right.
That's the assignment, which is we defend the position we've taken against the reality of how it is, because we don't want to surrender the position that makes us feel okay.
Big. All right.
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Terrific. Yeah, you've got the rebel rousers on the call today. I can relate to that first caller, though I come from a profession that, next to the tax collector, is probably the most despised throughout history.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I just love how...
And Christina, may I just before we go on, despised... so with Rochelle being a medical person, with you being a person of the law, people want to bad mouth and criticize and that sort of thing right up until we need you.
Yeah.
Right up until we're in a position where you are our hope, and then all of that criticism goes out the window. So to take the opportunity to assist the good people who are attempting the good fight before. It becomes a matter of personal crisis, maybe it's something we can aspire to. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Christina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. I really appreciate the way Ashwini characterized that last conversation and highlighted for us the role that defensiveness plays, because when I did the assignment, I was looking at overwhelm, and I can see that that's a pattern in my life that gets me to stop paying attention and to stop being present to whatever it is that's in my past, right? So things are happening. It's brought to my attention. You know, life just provides it. I'm right here. There it is. And there's something for me to do. It doesn't mean that I have to throw everything else aside that I'm working on and, you know, go full steam ahead on one thing. It means there's something for me in this moment to do.
Yes.
And that's it. And but if I'm stuck in this position of overwhelm, then I'm not allowed. I have to defend that position, right? Because all of a sudden it's me versus the whole world, and I can't possibly take that on. And, and I'm really grateful that I heard that.
Yeah, to listen to ego do it, I would love to, but I am so busy. I just can't take on another thing. So I had a very concrete one of those. I got a text message from somebody in Texas who asked if I could send text messages to people about this issue. And there's that immediate I want to get back to that person. which I project everybody can relate to, that procrastination. I'll get back to that this afternoon or next week or next month or maybe never. And And this morning, after meditation, it dropped in. Text them. So I texted them and said, yeah, I can do that. How do I do that? And I will make it happen because I know that as busy as I am, there's time to do that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, yes. And that's
the one little thing.
Exactly. And it's just so helpful to see it so clearly, you know, and I'm appreciative to it because I know that there's that I do the work I do, and I've spent so many years educating myself or being educated and working on issues that matter to me and learning more and more about them and making myself available. And then I got to watch as all of that began to shut down because of that system. And then I found, because of the system of overwhelm and egocentricity and, you know, not being good enough or whatever, you know, wanted to come at me. And then I found practice, and I got to slowly unfold again. And, you know, it brought me all these tools so that I could be available. And then I got to see that it's not just me being available. It's all of us together. You know, there are so many people who want to participate. And I've, through this practice, I've learned how to ask people for assistance, how to ask people for help, to invite people to join, to invite people to stand up, to find people who are already doing the work and to assist them. And I mean, I could just go on and on about all the magnificent ways that this practice has both helped me on a very personal, just even in internal level, and outward just a little bit to my family, and then out to my extended family, then out to my friends, then out to my community, and then out to the whole world. You know, I mean, we take it. Mm-hmm. That was a big jump on the last one, but I'm expressing gratitude, and I want to go on and talk about all these things these examples that I have just from this morning, for example, to explain how this is playing out in my life. But I think I'll just leave it with the thing that I am doing today and that I've done whenever I've come to this place where there's a lot of things that I feel like are coming at me and I start to get defensive, is I set my timer and I spend 5 minutes, sometimes 10, depending upon what I have going on, just sitting in meditation, or if I have a lot of energy, dancing, but where I can truly get present so that I can continue to do the work that I'm doing, because I, you know, I'm pretty much always involved in a pretty exciting project.
Uh-huh. That you feel good about, that lights you up.
Yes.
That is,
yes.
So, you know, with those images of, you know, you went into that profession to get rich, to just take advantage of people and get your cut. That's the, you know, that's mm-hmm. the fool people, trick people, mm-hmm. play tricks on them and take advantage of them. That's what you people do. And then you look at what you do all day long with this training that you have, and to take in, to realize that every choice that you make is because there's a chance that this is going to help somebody.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to take it in, isn't it?
It is. It's so important. And yes, and it's a privilege.
Yes, to serve.
Mm-hmm.
We hear that expression, right? But it mm-hmm. really is. It's mm-hmm. a privilege to serve.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. You know, Sherry, the thing that dropped in for me about that is, you know, that all systems have are egocentric at some level, because they are an amalgamation of a bunch of human beings who get identified. And to acknowledge that we're all part of that, and for every choice that we make towards disidentification, there's a way in which we change the system. It does feel mm-hmm. overwhelmingly stacked against us, but every choice mm-hmm. for good does make a difference. And that, mm-hmm. I mean, we say this all the time about practice, right? There is no practice if every single one of us doesn't show up and practice. There is no sangha if there isn't every, it's not an abstraction, right? It's,
yeah.
it's concrete. Every single person makes up the collective. And what ego yeah. does is to deny that by isolation. And yeah. so if there is no collective good label, then we have to somehow withdraw. And what both Christina and Rochelle were inspiring us to look at is, no, within that system, there is a way in which I am making the choice for the good. Now, it might seem like yeah. it doesn't make a difference and it doesn't change anything, but for the starfish that I picked up and put back into the sea, there's one node of that system that's different.
All the difference in the world for that one, huh?
That's right. Well, we have time to squeeze in one more caller, Sherry, so I'm going to do that. Here we go.
All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
I hear them. They're getting here. Oh, maybe not. Ashwini?
Okay. Yes, let me try someone else.
Oh.
Hang on.
Okay. I couldn't tell if you went away or they went away or I went away.
All right. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. This is Eleanor in Georgia.
Hello,
Hi.
Eleanor.
You hear me? Hi. So what
Getting
a great
through all those unmutes or those mutes.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Yeah, and happy, very happy to be here. What a wonderful call. What I've been looking at also in my profession in a community commitment and involved, I saw defensiveness come up was we do a program and something kind of went wrong Saturday night and someone was hurt, not bad, sadly, thank goodness. But when I left and started recording, the first thing ego came up with was defending me. You know, did you do it right? Did you follow the policy? Oh, yes. And when I saw that, mm-hmm. it went to somebody else. And then
yeah.
What,
well, who did it wrong then?
Thing, yeah. And then what the mm-hmm. most incredible thing that finally brought me great peace was that separation. All that's bringing is separating us into each our own little places. And it reminded me like when you watch little ants working, they're all doing something, but they're all, anyway, that was the image that came to me, that we're all in this, we're all together in this. What if we were all just in this and it just was happening and it wasn't somebody doing this and that, but we're all part of this mm-hmm. connection instead of being mm-hmm. separate. And
yeah, that's why whatever we're doing, we have to do it with as much love as we can muster, right? That's
exactly.
why the first choice
yeah.
has to be for unconditional love. Because then when the ego comes up with that, well, did you do it right? Did you make a mistake? No,
uh-huh.
no, you were okay. Well, then who did make a mistake? Who did do it wrong? You
right.
just go, no, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah, and I realize that to be present to what's going on is the answer. And I know that what
Eleanor,
I was doing was what I wanted to
do. Eleanor, hang on a second. Can you hang on? There, somebody needs to mute. We're hearing water noises in the background. I don't know how that works, but.
Well, guess what?
Sure.
Hey, how about that? Are you better?
Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
That's great.
Sorry, thanks for telling me. Anyway, let's see, where were you? I think that was it. That was just such a beautiful thing to see how the defensiveness pulled me away from something that I was really present to and really meant was in what I really wanted to be a part of. And it just divided us
yes.
all up and took the presence away and the love away, and it didn't have any meaning.
It's such an important place for us to see in the ego operation, isn't it? That divide and conquer. But that view that we're all in this together, we're all doing the best that we can do. We are, whether it looks like that or not. We're all doing the best that we can do. And now, can we assist in the process of love conquering all?
Yeah, yay. That's it. Thank you. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, then we go out the next time to participate in whatever that is, not with any voices of fear or dread or caution or any of those kinds of things, but just, all right, here we go. How much love can we bring to this?
Exactly. And when all the ego conversation was gone, I found that place of, oh, yeah, I'm in this. I'm fine. I know exactly where I stand on this. There's no issue. There's no discussion. This is fine. Whatever comes next is okay because I know where I am. I'm in it
yeah.
with everybody and for all. And
yeah, that's wonderful.
Yes. Thank you.
It's
thank you, everybody. It is.
Eleanor.
There's so much to do. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Eleanor. It's so true, right, Sherry, that to watch the way the ego operates, that blame and judgment lead to separation. And I think I was looking at this with somebody else, right? As soon as we recognize that unconsciousness is what's operating in order to produce the things that are going on that are unskillful, then there's a way in which we can get to conscious, compassionate awareness and be that in a situation where it's not there.
Yes, that's what we can bring.
That's what we can bring, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of a very thoughtful show. And here's the question for today. How do you defend yourself? What is your favorite defense? Record and listen.
That's a good one, huh?
No, they all are, aren't
Very
they?
Good. Mm-hmm. They all are.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini. And
thank you, Sherry.
Thanks to everybody. All right. Take good care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.